tell me, Maddie, what would be the least that you would like to come out of this episode with?
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
begin. Yes. Back-to-back awesome intro, awesome. Sweet to me.
We're killing it. Hey, guys. Welcome to the Married at First Sight after party and after show here at AfterBuzz TV. We are talking Season 8, Episode 9, The Past and the Furious. We have so much to talk about. We have... I don't even know how to say Kate's conversation with the mom, with Luke's mom. We have the past kind of creeping up and Christine gets upset again, all of that good stuff. But before we get started, I would love to introduce my lovely panel and get overall thoughts. We have Maddie in the building.
Hey, I'm Maddie. How's it going, guys? Happy to be back.
Yeah, we have Carmen.
Hey, everybody. I'm happy to see you guys this week. I missed you guys last week.
Carmen is back.
I'm back. With a vengeance.
We missed you, love. And we got Mike. Too.
What's up, guys? Glad to be here. Excited to talk about this. I'm in the chat. We love you guys. Holla at me in the chat.
What was you guys' overall thoughts of this? You know, we also have a special segment. I'm getting like sidetracked. I'm ready to talk about
you're
this.
Excited.
We're going to rate the couples, and we're still going to do our Gold Star Award. So keep those, if you're in our live chat, comments after. Keep those in the back of your mind. But what was you guys' overall thoughts of this episode? I was bored. I'm not going to lie. That was me.
Yeah, I'm like... Yeah.
More of the same for me. Yeah. I just thought it was more of the same. The couples that we like and that we've been rating high, they did good again. And the only couple that everybody hates and everybody knows is terrible are still doing bad. It just gets more and more and more awkward. So
okay.
Nothing crazy.
I mean, I kept saying that AJ has crazy eyes. And now I feel a little bit bad because he's
good.
He went, you know, he explained that traumatizing experience for him. And then I saw actually Steph's dad who looks a lot like him. So I'm like, oh, maybe that's what she likes. You know how like girls go after like
their dad,
a person who's like their dad or looks like them. So it's all coming together.
But, I can't lie. Like I did feel a little sympathy for AJ.
Good.
Oh, okay.
Mike.
Bringing them all around, everybody. Bringing everybody around.
I still have an opinion, but I'll save it for later.
Yeah. Yes. I was about to say, there was conflicting in Twitter, so I'm
all
excited.
All right.
I'm excited to get to that. Well, let's go ahead and get to it. Let's talk about AJ and Steph first. So a couple of things came up. They were supposed, during this episode, all the couples were supposed to talk about something in the past, whether that's meeting someone in the past, giving an experience, that may have influenced who they are today.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Steph gave the story of being laid off during the market crash. And AJ gave the story of being 18 years old. He hit a car, was propelled from the motorcycle, and reason as to why he is so chock full of energy. Mm-hmm. And did you get... For those that think he's crazy, did you buy the story? Did it make you change your opinion on AJ?
Yeah.
It was.
A little bit.
Like, that's it.
I was much more empathetic to his abundant joy and what seems to be like an overexertion of happiness and excitement. When you face a situation where you don't know if you're going to see tomorrow, that will make you appreciate life and want to live life to the fullest. So I think it was a good reason for why he chose to go on this show. But it doesn't explain why he couldn't find a connection for 5 years, why he ate dinner alone for so long. And we got to find out that there are two other people living in his head, just like I said there was.
Yes.
They aren't myself and Irene. They actually have names. Do you guys remember
them? It was Mike and Joe.
Mike and Joe.
Yeah, Mike and Joe. Yeah.
One who was his best friend who never got blamed for anything. And then one who was just the villain who got blamed for everything.
Mike.
I guess. I don't know.
Well, I think this is the Mike in his face.
It's me. It's me. I split off from AJ and I moved to Los Angeles.
That's why you always talk so good about him.
Well, you said you're an only child as well.
Yep.
You never had imaginary friends, did you?
I didn't have imaginary friends, no, but I think I have a vivid imagination.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not the same, but who knows how old he was? If he's like 4 years old, lots of kids have imaginary friends.
I'm not really like weirded out about the imaginary friends. What I want to know is I want the dirt from Imaginary Mike because I want to know the evil, devious things that he used to blame on.
What was he blaming on Joe?
There is that other show on A&E. I can't remember, but they're featuring that woman who has multiple personality. Oh, or, yeah, or DID, right? Dissociative Identity. Yeah, yeah. What if, yeah, maybe AJ makes a cameo in there.
I also want to know, within those 5 years that he was alone having dinner, did he talk to his imaginary friends?
Good point, Maddie. I'd like to know as well.
Maybe they came back.
No. No.
How did you know?
What if he made them plates?
No. You guys, of course he didn't, because he didn't have anyone there present for 5 years.
Yes, he made very specific statements that he was all alone, so not even imaginary friends.
Well, you guys aren't the only one that is.
What if they ditched him, too? Yeah. It's like, oh, that's so mean. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry I said
this
that.
This poor guy is just full of life, traumatic experiences. He's like, you know what? I'm gonna live life to the fullest, and you guys just tear him down.
Well, what about the ice cream sandwich? Did that strike anybody as odd, the ice cream sandwich at the end?
Why?
Well, he, like, hit her but didn't. Like,
no,
like, oh.
she did it first.
No, she did it first, but the look.
He joyously shoved it back in her face, and it was, like, a really aggressive, like.
Do you think he hesitated, like, the cameras are on, I'm not going to slap her up beside the head type of thing with the ice cream?
You guys are reaching so hard.
Ask the chat. I'm not reaching. Ask the chat.
I think the show is reaching too hard to come up with something for them. Because I think they're a perfectly great couple.
Here's the thing. My mom always said, don't play fight with guys because it's just not a good habit to start. Because mm-hmm. men shouldn't even pretend that they're going to hit you back. Mm-hmm. But AJ did not hesitate to, like, oh, I'm going to do it back harder. Like, oh, my God.
This is good. Oh, do you play fight with your husband?
I do. Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of people do.
I play fight with my wife, but it's more like me tickling her.
Yeah.
She, like, doesn't know her own strength. Yeah. And there's no... Yeah. There's no holding back. So her tiny little hands are like... It's like, I don't want to fight with you because she only has level 10.
Well, that was me. And I think that's why my mom told me not to do it, because I would just go and wrestle. Like, I was really a tomboy.
It wasn't for
me. And I would just wrestle the guy. Like, I was full on, like, WWE, like, off the ropes, you know?
Jeez.
So I think she was like, you need to cool it with the aggression, with the wrestling with the guys. And so I kind of cut back from them. Yeah. I was a tree climber and stuff. I was really a tomboy, so.
Well, I am interested to see what the chat says. We want to know, so are you team love tap, or are you team, what are we going to call the aggressive ice cream? I don't know, aggressive ice cream. That's just where
team wrong. Team wrong. Team wrong. Nick Lady in the chat has my back. AJ is fine. Y'all are overreacting.
Yup,
that's right.
I don't know, I don't know.
Reaching real hard. See you who's likes AJ too. Come on.
He was. I'm turning everybody around. You know, we got to have a little devil's advocate going there, you know, but he did. Yeah, I empathize with him more I heard his story. It's true.
Well, I love it. Well, thank you for settling at least a little bit. I love hearing from the chat. But we do also love hearing you in so many other different ways. You guys are legitimately our extended panel. So Maddie has a special message just for you.
Yes, I do. Hey, guys, before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to say thank you so much for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. For us to continue to grow, we could use your help. Please make sure to subscribe on YouTube. I know you guys are all in the chat right now, which is amazing. Please give us a rating on iTunes and leave us a comment. We really, really appreciate you guys in the chat right now and asking us questions. We couldn't do it without you guys. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to all of us. And thank you so much for supporting us and doing what we love. Thanks, guys.
Yes, we love you guys. I mean, they literally, our extended panel out there in the world, all over. We have someone in Spain. I know someone, people from all over the world literally join in. They give such good insight. So we appreciate you guys. Let's give our insight on Will and Jasmine. So, I mean, we didn't hear too much from Will and Jasmine, but shout out to Miss Auntie Susie for, I feel like, the quote of the night.
Jeez.
So the two past experiences that they gave was Will took Jasmine to a playground with his best friend, really talking about where he came from. And Jazz took Will to Aunt Susie and Uncle Joe's house.
Love them.
To have dinner. So let's start with Will. I absolutely loved what he did. I love that he took her to a playground and talked about where he came from. And to be honest, it made me really like Will a little bit better. I don't know yet.
Yeah.
But I'm really loving Will. So what did you guys think from that experience?
I've always been team Will. Will's my favorite, most grounded guy on the show. And I think he does things with strategically and intelligently. Like, he's using his intellect on how to really connect with this woman beyond it just being about, you know, sex or intimacy, you know, like physical intimacy, I'll say. I think he wants to be mentally stimulated, and I think he's that kind of guy. And I just thought it was cool because he explained, like, you know, this is how I learned how to grow, you know, beyond my fears and how to, you know, be able to be competitive and stand out in the world, and that's why I push you. And when he said that, that statement kind of stood out because I'm like, yeah, he is trying to get her to toughen up a little bit, you know. And I thought it was good because it's good to have a partner that wants to see you grow, you know, and see you get beyond, you know, you feel a little spoiled maybe, help you grow up a little bit.
Yeah. I definitely saw him in a different light when he brought her to the playground and stuff. And then I didn't really know that he got, like, they were saying his friends raised him kind of thing, and he went to them when he had, like, a problem and stuff. So that was really cute.
Yeah, I thought it was very endearing. I liked Will a lot more after this episode. I liked them both more after this episode. And I agree with the chat. I love Aunt Susie and Uncle Joe.
Loved them.
Yeah, so Aunt Susie, the quote of the night was, one was, Jazzy, you have to listen to Will. And another thing she said is, what you put into this marriage, you get back. Sweet on Snappy.
Yeah. That's right. That's for everybody, 50, though. That's for everybody.
58 years of marriage will teach you.
So so my question is, pose another question of, one, what does Jazz think she's bringing to the table? Because she doesn't want to pay the bills.
Right.
She doesn't want to clean up after Will. Do you guys think that Jazz is going to be enough for Will to make this last?
If she stops being spoiled,
yeah,
he does not appreciate that. It's really obvious.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think they know that she's a little annoying, too, because they're like, yeah, she used to get on our nerves, but we gotta love her. She's blood, you know?
Yeah, they were like, Joe and Susie are kind of just like, you could tell that they have dealt with her being spoiled and her not doing a lot around the house and stuff like that. So they're just like, okay, don't mess this one up kind of thing.
They told her she needs to be a better listener. So they know that she's stubborn.
Yeah, that's
too shy. I liked them as a couple. We talked about it similarly actually last night on the Bachelor panel. If anybody watched the Bachelor panel, how I think Colton, the Bachelor, needs somebody who's a good match for him, like a yin and a yang kind of thing, because he's very passive, and I like the girls for him that are more aggressive. I think Will and Jasmine have a similar thing going on. She's very outgoing, and he's much more reserved. They kind of have somewhat opposite opinions, like we said, like the financial stuff and things like that. I think they're going to balance themselves out, and I think that's why they're a great couple.
Yeah, I think Jasmine is portraying that very aggressive, very spoiled, very unwilling person.
Right.
And I think Will is as quiet but strong in a silent way that he can be like, Jazz, get it together.
Right.
And that will, in fact, work. And it'll also, I feel like, turn her on a little bit.
Someone to challenge her. Someone to challenge her.
Challenge accepted.
It's like, ooh, okay.
Yeah, so I love what Reality TV with B says, Jasmine is coming across as spoiled and unwilling to compromise. So I think Tamika Francis, hey, said, so I love Will, and I said on Twitter, if I was on Jasmine, I would be greeting him with a librarian every night.
Good throwback.
Mr. Ollie Wooda, Jasmine wants a sperm donor who pays the bills.
I think she thinks that maybe she wanted somebody that wanted marriage as bad as she did, so maybe she could just get over whatever on him. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe he wanted to be married at first sight, and they got paired, so he was just going to be this perfect guy, like, that just suited to her.
Right. Like very tailor-made specifically because of the matchmakers.
Yeah, I think she thought she was going to get away with that.
And it's not like that. The only thing they've got between them is basically this budget issue and finance and kind of gender roles. That's the big thing. And that's big, though. It's really, really big. But with any relationship, it's a huge thing that you've got to figure out how to navigate. Because it's very rare that you're going to be on the same page with everybody. Especially if you've been single for a while, you're used to doing it your own way. And then you have your own ideas coming into it on what you want your partner to do. So it's tough to meet up on that.
But I think I was just about to say, I think the biggest part there is communication. And I know it sounds so ridiculously cliche, but I think that you have to communicate first off the expectations, and then communicate also when you don't feel appreciated or that you're not carrying the 50-50 weight load. So I think Will and Jasmine definitely have to have that conversation. And I also think that Keith and Christine, our next couple, have to have that conversation.
Yeah. Big time,
you know,
big
time. He pays attention because even though he said like it was certain things that he would do, the manly things, like he came home and he did the laundry, you know? So I think that he's willing to
100%.
Give. Yeah.
Will is definitely willing. Hashtag Will is willing.
Wow. Will is willing.
Yeah.
And I love it.
I know, I love it too. Let's talk about Keith and Christine, because I love that Deirdre Ricketts pointed out gender roles is the same issue with Kate and Kate.
Deirdre's not wrong.
Deirdre is not wrong. So first, I loved Christine's reaction. What did you guys think about kind of that eye-opener for Keith and Christine, that conversation that they kind of started out with? I guess the past experiences that they brought up, we'll just say Keith brought up his dad and the things of his dad's past. He was, you know, a little crazy, drank a lot, smoked a lot. And Christine brought up that she was engaged before to a little bit more of a well-off individual. But in turn, that person was ridiculously controlling.
Right.
So pretty much said, I make more money, so you have to listen to me situations.
Right.
So what do you guys think of that conversation and how it ended up?
It made me understand why she resented having, like, him saying, oh, it has to be this way. I need you to do the cooking and cleaning. Like, I was like, now I see why it's a problem, because she's trying to get away from that because someone did it the incorrect way. And so she wasn't leaving space to separate herself from her ego to really understand why he needed that.
Yeah.
You know, so I think today was a really good clarifier for her. As to why, you know, she may be able to bend a little bit there.
It's really interesting, their backstories on why they were paired together. Because they almost, we talked about yin and yang, right? Yin and yang, they almost have the opposite of that. He wants someone to take care of him for those past reasons. She doesn't want to be bossed around and have to take care of somebody because of her past reasons. So it's almost like the perfect storm. I loved their conversation. I thought it was very endearing. It really, because we were kind of down on Keith for these kind of things. At least it kind of brings it to light. And the first step to fixing these kind of things is talking about it and understanding what's going on.
Because when he first said, it's too many dishes, I was like, no, you didn't. You didn't just do that, did you, Keith? Like, she's cooking you three meals and you're complaining about it's too many dishes?
Three meals a day.
Three meals a day.
That's a lot of dishes. Not even three times a week.
A lot of dishes, but I didn't mean to say it like that. But that's a lot of dishes, but it's that's a lot of cooking is what I meant to say.
How elaborate are their breakfasts and lunches?
Okay, so Mike and I had this conversation offline, so maybe someone in the chat can help us out, help us squash this feud. Is he only responsible for cleaning the dishes after a cooked meal, or is he also responsible for cleaning up the house, period?
So, I thought it meant he was responsible for cleaning the house and the dishes. And I was just saying, that's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of stuff.
To have to clean in the dishes.
Potentially all by yourself. I don't know. It seems like a lot.
Okay. I think he would have brought up cleaning the whole house and all those dishes too, though. I think he was just complaining about the dishes, right? I don't know. Like,
that's the argument, Maddie.
I'm waiting on live chat.
I'm one of those people, like, relationship or not, I like doing dishes because it's kind of like calming. It's calming. Like, it's like therapeutic for me. Like, I like washing dishes. But
aren't you? You're single.
If I cook, my friends clean. You know, like, if I cook, you guys got the dishes, great. And I'll cook for everybody. But it's like, okay, you got the dishes. Or sometimes I want them, like, leave it. I'll get it later. Let's just enjoy the food.
Okay, wait. Are you single?
Yes.
Not for long.
By choice.
Come on. Oh, my God. Oh, okay. Honesty. All right. All right. All right. By choice is fine.
Yeah, by choice. I'm doing this intentionally.
Isn't it a trade-off, though? If one person does all of the cooking and the other person does the cleaning of the dishes, is that equal? Mike says no.
How good is the meal?
It depends, because I throw down. Exactly. After you eat my food, you're like, I got it. Chill, sit, you have know a what? Seat.
Yeah.
You know?
I know how to solve
this. But that's so
this.
Caring of you, though. I feel like that's abnormal.
Cleaning up after yourself, like taking off your socks and just leaving them somewhere because you think somebody's going to clean up after you, I think that's childish.
That's
like,
a difference.
We can all clean up after ourselves. That's you know really, what I mean?
That's different.
To a certain extent.
Yeah, that's different.
And you know what is so strange? I feel like a lot of argument, like my husband and I have had this conversation on, yes, I'm responsible for the cleaning, and yes, you're responsible for the cleaning. So whomever is responsible for the cleaning, that same exact point. Cleaning means you clean up, like, every day, like, it just kind of, like, the bathroom or the kitchen, when it kind of just everyday stuff piles on. It's not when I walk in, I'm cleaning up, picking up socks or picking up panties and bras laying all over the place. Late night fun.
Wow.
A lot going on.
What's TK's house like? His house is like a Victoria's Secret.
Hey, I'm sure he wouldn't care about that.
I would not pick them up.
So I guess it's a workload, like just having that communication. It's just like,
The show is a little over elaborate. Like, just do it. Just clean up.
I know, yeah.
Just clean up. I don't know.
I'm all for communication, but like, come on.
Yeah.
If someone's cooking for you, clean up the dishes.
He's just being lazy. That's just some lazy stuff that you have to grow up.
This goes back to the Fast and the Furious. The first Fast and the Furious, Paul Walker said, in my house, whoever cooks doesn't clean up. That's it. Yeah. We only need Fast and the Furious logic to live by.
I have a suggestion that I think that they should live by. I know, like, we're kind of talking past because on Unfiltered, Keith has said he cooks more. So maybe they've worked this out by now. But we're on episode 9,
it's a microwave, Keith.
But I feel like maybe they should buy, like, paper plates. And then you said, how good is the meal? Maybe for the fast meals, they cook it on paper plates and no one does the dishes.
That's a great idea. Meals,
or get a dishwasher.
That's what I'm saying to Mike.
Dishwashers are so annoying because you have to wash the whole dish before the dishwasher washes the dish.
I love the dishwasher. I'm one of those psychos who, like, I do pre-wash to make sure there's nothing there, but I don't want to eat off of that until it's gone through the dishwasher.
But before I had one, I was like...
You don't need paper utensils for a bowl for cereal in the morning and a plate for a sandwich at lunch. It's not that elaborate.
Okay. Well, let's move on.
Your meal is not that elaborate.
She's cooking those new relationship meals. You know, she's like cooking everything.
It's wait till year one and a half. You're going to be having toaster strudel.
Right.
Yeah, like, can't think of
spaghetti noodles.
Let's move past the food because we got hungry. A little more. Well, that and we got a little bit more important things to talk about, too. Keith's dad story. So they were supposed to meet Keith's dad, and he did not show up. Mike said that it was probably staged.
That's what
I did not say that. No, I'm just kidding.
Because I've always said that. You guys know so I always bad. Reach. I'm the one. I'm the antagonist.
Carmen said
so,
that.
So, look, I just was saying, what if?
Conspiracy theory, Carmen.
What if they really wanted Christine to get a real taste of what Keith's childhood was? So when Keith decided that he wanted her to meet his dad, maybe it's like, let's make sure he doesn't show up so she can experience his abandonment issue.
And feel bad for him.
Bad for him and relate to him on a different level.
That's some deep conspiracy, but you gotta admit,
it's production.
If this dad did come through and was like, "Hey, Keith," and like hugging, like super happy, like, "I'm so glad to meet you," be like, "What?"
Yeah,
I thought you said he sucked.
Nothing was wrong.
Yeah, true.
I mean, what if? I'm just saying.
Maddie, do you think that it was staged or no? Did you feel? I mean, do you think it'll make their relationship a little bit better, a little stronger?
Now that I think about it, it could have been staged because it's kind of like on the Kardashians or something like that when they always call someone and they just happen to pick up, you know, and he calls his mom and then it's like she just so happens to pick up and says, "Oh, you know, I haven't seen him," and blah blah blah. So that must have been staged with the phone call.
Well, I mean,
it's just a theory.
It could be just a theory.
Hopefully it worked.
Either way, it worked, and she immediately was like, I get it.
Yeah,
what I'm going to step it up. I'm not
what did you
complain.
Guys think about the Dr. Jessica Jennifer? It slipped on my mind. Sorry about mm-hmm. that. About the therapist saying or the doctor saying that Keith is having that he had to grow up too fast.
I don't know.
I think it's probably true. A 13-year-old well, supposed things. To drive his drunk father home. I mean, that's a big thing. And if that's if that's a pattern of behavior and that's just one example, then yeah, probably. But to be fair, a lot of people have had to grow up way too early. Different people in different circumstances.
I was kind of like, my mom worked at night. So after a certain age, when I was old enough to watch myself, like I was at home at night for a long time. Maybe from like somewhere around middle school. Because I had babysitters until the point where I could, like, wake myself up, get myself dressed. My mother would be home super early in the morning. So I would walk to school. She would be home before I got to school. But I was kind of responsible for myself. What we would call latchkey kids. So, and then I had to be responsible. And it's so funny because, sorry, Mom, but, like, I was the one not, I was the one being responsible. But my house was like, let's go to Carmen's house. Like, Mom's at work. You know, but I had to grow up. I had to face a little responsibility early, you know, on my own. But my thing is, I was going to make a good point and I just forgot it. But
it's okay.
Here comes another good point.
What if, you know, you don't want to raise a kid because you don't want to raise somebody to be codependent. And that's what he is. Like, he can't cook his own meals. Like, what would he do if he just moved out on his own? How would he eat? Would he know how to function if there was no Christine? And I think that's the bigger issue. His codependency on the women in his life because of the lack. They're picking up. Because his dad wasn't there. They're picking up the slack. So, but my thing is, like, do we really want to eat meals from somebody who doesn't know how to cook?
That's what it boils down to.
We don't want to be, like, forcing food down, like, it's great, honey. And, like, feeding it to the dog under the table. Exactly. That's how you feel when you have to do that.
I think that's why I was so conflicted with the expert's opinion. Because she said, oh, you had to grow up so fast. And then in the back of my mind, I was like...
He's still not grown up.
Although I will 100%, I don't think the father thing was completely staged, just to completely respectfully disagree. But I think just from my own past experiences, it happens. Family members don't show up sometimes. And I think, but I'm not really sure if that is... Like, maybe that was an excuse, like, oh, I had to grow up so fast. You kind of didn't, because I think Mr. Ollie would have said it perfectly, so I'm just going to say that, was, crap, where did it go? Said, I don't understand the growing up fast thing, because he still needs to be taken care of.
It's true.
Point blank period. It's
true. Yeah, I mean, if there was no Christine, he'd probably still be at his grandma's house.
For sure,
so maybe what he really needed was a little period of time in between there where he was booted out and had to fend for himself.
That's why I said in the beginning, is he ready for marriage? Is he really at the phase where he knows how to be a man? And is he ready to be a husband?
The one thing I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's no way because he's never been alone.
Yeah.
And, like, say they start having kids and stuff, how's he going to take care of the kids? Because he's never taken care of himself.
That's a good point. Maddie, do you think that there would be a possibility that they break up, he lives by himself, grows up, and then they come back together? Do you think that the chemistry they have now is strong enough for that?
I want them to be together now, and I don't want them to break up, but I think he needs to be alone.
You think he can grow through this? Like, Christine would be patient enough for him to grow through this to keep her?
I don't know. I think that she's going to grow sick of it, and I feel bad for him because obviously what happened with his dad, but I think in order to, like, move forward, he does need to be alone for a bit. He can't just jump to another relationship, and then she's going to end up taking care of him.
We got a couple really good... suggestions in the chat. Wine glass woman, Christine should buy couples cooking classes for them, make it fun. And then TM to a perfect follow-up, Blue Apron or a similar service where the ingredients are provided, set by instructions for a few weeks. Get them, like, jump-started. That would be fun, romantic,
and he would
interactive.
Be down for that. He's considerate of her feelings. And I thought...
I think so.
When I saw the way they kind of embraced each other through it all, I was like, they're a cute couple.
Yeah.
I thought they were a really cute couple.
What I was going to say... is it really shines a light. The first three couples we just talked about, their problems, right? It really goes to show the stark difference between them and Luke and Kate. Right? It's insane. Like, this is what we're talking about. He kind of doesn't want to cook food, and they have a little argument over, like, who's cleaning up. The other one's we'll like, AJ's too excited. All right, Will, like, you know, finance, you got to discuss every couple, but...
But let's drop the bomb on good old Kate and Lou.
Oh, man.
It's nothing compared to these two.
Let's take a stab at Kate and Luke. Before I get started, because I want to hear some of your responses in the live chat and in the comments afterwards, do you think Luke, this is the question I want everyone to ask, do you think Luke set his mom up to have a conversation with Kate so that... she will make the decision to leave, and he won't look like the bad guy. Oof. Mike, drop your answers. But let's talk about Luke and Kate. So their backstories. I'm still not. I don't know. I completely missed the backstory. They meet.
They had an off-camera breakthrough. That none of us know about. That would be the one thing to show on this show. Like, they had a good moment in their relationship, but what was their breakthrough?
Well, let's just say
he must have smiled at her or something.
He didn't completely hate me last night.
He must have showed teeth and a smile. Like, yeah, just a grin. Whoa! Like, oh my God, teeth!
I think, also she goes, we both just really value family. So it's like, that's what they're bonding over, but everyone pretty much values family.
I used to feel bad for her, but now she's making me like
they can't like even agree off on an ice cream flavor.
Well, she said in this episode, she said, quote, "This feels like the marriage I've always wanted."
And I'm just like, sis, you look desperate.
What?
But that's in complete contrast to what she tells his mom later when she said, "I came into this with no expectations, but if I had, these would not be met at all." Like,
touché.
No, it is not the perfect relationship. There's no way.
Mom was evil, creepy, passive aggressively mean and creepy because she said nothing encouraging. First of all, mom says in her private interview that this is not what I wanted for my son. Mm-hmm. So you already know how mothers can be when they don't want you for their son. And she probably wants what she considers a real daughter-in-law. So I feel like I was getting like super Get Out vibes, the mom from Get Out. I think there was something hypnotizing and hand-holding.
Yeah.
There's something psychological about that because it's really like weird. She walked her, it's like she was holding her hand, walking her the path of doom. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the most you want to take from this if when it goes terribly, awfully wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, mom, like, ask her, how is it? Is it nice? So you guys get it along. She had nothing. She was just encouraging her, kind of like dropping hints that this isn't going to work. Or like, hey, you know, this isn't good for you. You don't like my son.
The chat.
Look into the light.
The chat agrees with Carmen. Yeah. For the chat, I mean, Luke's mom knows. Luke's mom knows him. She's trying to warn Kate.
Yep. She was like, blink twice. She was like, sending signals. Like, it was awful.
It was the hand-holding thing was weird. Everybody agrees with that. But it was probably an innocent thing that just happened on camera. More so, the questions are just not what you'd expect a new mother-in-law to ask a daughter-in-law. And Kate next to broke down in front of her, basically saying, this is not.
Oh, are you kidding?
Because her mother-in-law said, you look sad.
No, yes. Honey, let me clarify. I would have taken that moment to, you know, they say, you know, problems that you have between a marriage is between you and that person. Mm-hmm. You know, share maybe one third party. You never want that third party to be the in-laws. But at that very moment, honey, we haven't been married long. Mm-hmm. You've already told me that you feel dead inside. You're whatever. In the past, I would have taken that moment to tell her mother or his mom, look, your son treats me like crap. He tried to lie on me saying I was an alcoholic. He told me he felt dead inside when we were off camera. He is completely, like, I would have just been like, no, I'm, you know what? You know why I look sad? Because I'm not happy with your son.
Right.
Is there something I don't know?
She was in a hypnotic trance. Truthfully. But now we know where he gets that passive aggressiveness from.
Yeah. This is my side of Kate. It's, to me, the opposite side of AJ. AJ, I think, is just tired of the cameras, and that's where his kind of little mini explosion. Kate, I think, is the opposite. I think Kate is feeling everything that we're saying. Mm-hmm. However, she is hypersensitive about not making herself or anybody else look bad on TV because she's super sweet. I think she doesn't want any kind of negativity, and that's why she's just kind of rolling along with it and still like, this is a great marriage. And, you know, and only finally at the end did she come out with, she didn't even say he's treating me badly. He sucks. Nothing. It's just my expectations aren't met. Yeah. That's like the weakest way to say I'm unhappy.
She needs a backbone.
The longer this show goes on and she doesn't stick up for herself, right. Obviously we're going to see her at the end of the episode and we're going to know that she's going to stick it out until the end. But the more and more that she doesn't take up for herself, I lose more and more disrespect for her. Like, yeah. I lose more respect for her. What?
Sorry, TM in the chat is dead on accurate. Ooh. Kate equals Bobby from last season. Yup, that's right. And just like I wanted Bobby to explode and flip tables and stuff out of nowhere, I would love it for Kate to go to that level.
And we said that last week off camera. Mm-hmm. Remember? Because we were talking about the baby bump.
That's right. Yep.
That's true. Maddie, what you think?
I hated when, in the, like, before, obviously, the awkward handhold or whatever, mm-hmm. Luke's like, I'm really trying to make this work. Like, that was his main quote of every
Luke, they're just so confusing. Yeah. You wish the producers would say, guys, just be straight up. Right. Like, if you don't like each other, like, let's just do it. And let's explore that. Yeah. That would be more interesting than this, like, because I don't know what they're doing.
Because what's it saying? It's encouraging other married couples out there in the world, like, hey, if you don't like it, just suck it up.
Stick it out.
Yeah.
Be quiet. No, I think in a marriage, I think that's where you should be the most vulnerable you. Right. Because at the end, it could be completely, it can bring you closer, and not necessarily in a romantic way, but maybe Luke knows someone that is great for Kate because all of the speed.
This should be the opportunity where the professionals real. Take
that
them.
That would be hilarious.
They'd be real.
Like,
yeah.
I know who's perfect for you.
They should go through.
Always at my events.
They obviously are not eye to eye on relationships and they're not good at relationships by themselves.
Yeah.
They should go through with the therapists and the people, learn about themselves, be friends with each other and like help each other figure it out and be cool instead of this charade of marriage or love or whatever. It's silly.
And maybe not be friends. I mean, I know we have to move on to our special segment, but
they don't have to be friends, sure. But
that grin he keeps giving her is really bothering me because it's so fake. He just keeps grinning at her like,
yeah, I know. We know who's not getting the gold star. We know who's not getting the gold star award. But let's take it into our special segment. We're going to rate these couples. Drop your rates in the live chat. We're going to give our gold star award and quickly give some news and gossip. So, real quick, we got 4 or 5 minutes. Let's go. Let's rate Steph and AJ. What do we give them?
10. I love them. I love Steph. Everybody knows I'm going to give them a 10. I know. They're my favorite couple. Okay. I liked everything that happened. I love the visit to her parents.
All right.
Carmen? I gave him an 8 because he shouldn't have shoved that ice cream in her face like that. He could have put some on her nose and that would have been cute. Aww. But the shove was too much for me. So he got an 8. But he did get empathy from me for his motorcycle accident. So I will say that. But 8.
Aww, I always give them the lowest. I'm going to do a 7. I think he's about to crack. There's going to be one episode where he just loses it. I feel like he has like a temper. He has those crazy eyes. I do feel really bad for what happened to him. I think, you know, he's sweet, but he has a side to him that's going to come out.
Okay. I give him a 9. I mean, it is what it is. I think he could be a little crazy, but yeah, whatever. She can handle it. let's rate to Jasmine and Will.
Jasmine and Will are my 9. I really like they're moving up for me. I think they're doing absolutely fantastic. I like the couples not to have the same numbers. So I like a little separation, but I think they're great.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give them a 7. Jasmine lost the point when she said, I'll tell you why.
Wow.
But that's still my favorite. But Jasmine lost the point when she tried to get her family to side with them. Like, see, he doesn't want to pay all the bills. See, it was like she was looking for some type of cool points or some type of justification for the way she was being. I don't know, but no, she needs to grow beyond that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, 7.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a 7 as well. I think they need to work on a lot of stuff, and she has to, you know, put her being spoiled to the side for a little bit, and they need to work on that for sure. Well, it's never going to work.
I love Brittany Powell's 5 just for that poverty comment.
I don't remember that comment.
She was like, he was comfortable, but then he lived close to the poverty line. It was a little weird.
But anyway. Like, it's basically like poverty.
Yeah.
Hey.
What? I'm going to give them an 8. I think she needs to kind of look in the mirror. She needs a little self-reflection, but I think Will is strong enough to give her that. Mm-hmm. And I think the foundation is pretty much there. It's doable. They just really need to have a real conversation. So, Christine and Keith.
They are my eight. I think they got to get over, even though I think it's kind of silly and it's easy to get over, they do got to figure out this whole division of chores and stuff. So that's why I put them a little bit lower. But they're great. They're still great.
Yeah.
The three couples are fantastic.
They are. The three.
Okay. I gave them a nine this week because though they started off with differences, this show is about growth and they exhibited great growth today. So they both gave a little and it was great.
That was very insightful.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yeah, this episode was like a breakthrough for them because now they really know all each other's problems, I guess. So now they just need to work on it. And I give them an eight, I'd say. And before this episode, I was like maybe a six. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
I will say a seven. I see the potential. And just based on, like, you know, friends of mine that are married and my own past experiences, the things that they're having issues with, you can get over. But I don't think that we're at the last of their issue. I don't know. Kate and Luke, do we really even want to talk about it?
I give them a 10.
Minus the zero. Are we agreed?
Minus the one.
Minus the one. Like,
no. One and zero?
Yeah, they're a one. I mean, just stop the charade.
Yeah, just stop.
It's not even interesting. It's not even interesting.
Yeah, I know. Just keep it real. Let's do Gold Star Award real quick. Before we get started.
I got it. My gold star goes to AJ. I loved when he had that one line, take the risk, date that person, apply for that job. Like, that's awesome, that man. That's what everybody should be living their life by, like, 100%. I felt it.
I love it. You took mine.
Mine was Christine when she humbled herself and said that she really had more empathy for Will because she was really stubborn and she has her own difficulties to get over, you know. So the fact that she still decided to have empathy for him, though she was going through her own struggle with the cooking, shows that she's really in it to win it. So yeah. Gold star.
Can I give it to Uncle Joe and Aunt Susie?
Yes, of course.
That chicken.
Yeah, that chicken. And I think it was like a cake. I don't know the exact name of the cake.
That was a bundt cake.
That was a bundt cake.
Yeah,
that looked amazing.
And potato salad, honey. Yeah. All looked great.
They just looked, they were really funny. And it was hilarious how they sort of like call Jasmine out for being spoiled. And they're like, you know, you got to make him happy too. And, you know, that was funny.
My parents.
And I wanted to eat at their house. It looked really good.
Hello.
Exactly.
That's like all of my family back in Tennessee. Shout out to the South. As well. that's like a Tuesday. So I want to give my Gold Star Award to Aunt Susie for saying what you put into this marriage, you get back.
That was a good
I love
one.
It. I do want to point out Deirdre's Gold Star. Deirdre Rickett says Gold Star for Dr. J for the term parentified child.
Love it.
Hey now.
Very accurate.
All right. Our last bit is news and gossip.
Buzz TV News.
We got a little bit of picture up on your screen. So, you know, last week, Luke was saying he gave this heartfelt story of why he doesn't drink, why he called Kate an alcoholic and all of that stuff. But, you know, thanks to our lovely extended panel, I will give a shout out once I find it. Mike, if you don't mind, maybe to hop on over to the other one to see if I can give a last week's episode, maybe to see if we can give a shout out to the person. I'm so sorry. But the picture that you see on your screen is Luke. One of his friends posted pretty much this picture of we see Luke without a beard, which is a little disgusting.
Very strange.
Holding a bottle of liquor with a shot glass. And Casey Hurt is his friend's name. And it says this was his seventh shot of the night. But then Luke even corrected him in the comment and said this was like shot nine.
Come on, man.
Oh, this God. Was after, this was post his story of his friend passing away, giving this heartfelt moment and saying why, like, he didn't even get drunk until the age of 25. He's definitely younger than 25 in this picture.
Come on, man.
So, this picture is brought to you by Reddick. Our extended panel gave us this tip, I'll call it, in our last video last week. So thank you so much. We do read the comments and we appreciate them. I'd love to give you a shout out. And, Yeah, thank you. That was our news and gossip. That was our week. So we do this show every single week. But to continue the conversation, Mike, where can they find you?
Guys, thanks for hanging out with us in the chat. You guys are awesome. You can find me everywhere at Mike Thieling.
And you can find me on Instagram at King_Karma and also on Twitter.
And you can find me on Instagram at Maddie Pox. Thanks, guys.
And you can find me, Takara Shabre, on Instagram and Twitter. And we will see you next week, guys.
Go talk to your aunts and uncles.
At Takara_Shabre, by the way. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.